Hey everybody, it's Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community. Thank you so much for tuning into the Outlet Community Podcast. We pray that you are able to experience the power of authentic relationships. If you're ever in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you out. Just simply visit theoutlet.cc for more information of our service location and times. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this life-giving message. I want to ask you a question today, though. If there was one thing you could do for the rest of your life and never get paid for, what would it be? There was one thing you could do for the rest of your life and not receive any compensation for it. What would it be? Open with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 16. We'll be reading verses 1 through 4 and then Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11. So we'll go two places, Proverbs 16 and Ephesians chapter 1. This morning, I will go to a few scriptures today because purpose is something that I want you to first discover in the Word to be the launching pad for every decision that you have going forward. So Proverbs 16, with that question in mind, if there was one thing you could do for the rest of your life and never get paid for it, what would that be? Proverbs 16, in verse 1, it says, we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives us the right answer. People may be pure in their own eyes, but it's the Lord that examines their motives. Commit your actions, all of your actions, to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. We're going to read the first part of verse 4. It says, the Lord has made everything. Everybody say everything. It's really key here. The Lord has made everything for his own purposes. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. It says, furthermore, because we're united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. So that's your identity. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything. Somebody say everything. Everything work out according to his plan. Heavenly Father, in the brief moments that we have to gather around your word, may you lead and guide our conversation today. Lord, you've placed every single one of us here for your specific purpose and your specific reason. So I pray this morning that your word brings understanding, that today's message brings clarity. But I ask for your grace and your power for every person here, not to only hear the word today, but place it in actual demonstration in their life. My heart's desire as pastor of this church, Lord, is for every single person that listens, that is committed, that has desire to grow in you, to do just that. May not one person, no matter how old they are, live a life aimless, ever having to wonder why they are here. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Purpose. The Bible also mentions purpose as election, calling. But the word purpose simply means intention or design. Every one of us, and this is from a biblical worldview, I'm very mindful to always communicate that as a church, as Christians, we should possess a worldview or a philosophy or a baseline in your belief that is centered in the Word of God, period. And from a biblical worldview, we believe that God has created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1 and 1. But if you go to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, you will see where the word says, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power." Again, talking about God has created all things, and they exist because you created what you please. So every one of us in here are created by God. God made us. We did not just come out of thin air. You might not have been planned by your parents, but you didn't catch God by surprise. You were handmade and created by God himself. And what I've noticed in Christianity, and not only Christianity, but in society, is that how strange would it look if I asked this chair why this chair is here? Would you all look at me and say, okay, Vince probably needs to rest. He needs to go somewhere. He needs to quit talking to this chair. And I mean, just be honest. You know what? Let me not do it. Let me have you. Can y'all, everybody ask this chair why it's here? No, it's not talking, so keep asking. Keep going. It's not talking back. It's not saying nothing. You know what? Let me help the chair out. Let me get another chair. And maybe this chair can tell this chair why this chair and that chair exist. So while y'all asking this chair, I'm going to have this chair ask this chair, or this chair ask this chair why this chair is this chair. So then we get frustrated. And let's just only talk about, let's diagnose this chair, because I don't want to come where you at just yet. I want to build. This chair is upset because this chair doesn't feel like this chair understands this chair. And then this chair lives life aimlessly wondering because this chair feels like it's not getting the answers that it needs because that chair is trying to ask this chair why it's that chair. What society has done is they have decided that instead of asking the creator, they want to ask the creation why they exist. And so I'm not knocking fortune cookies, because sometimes when I order General Cho's chicken, them fortune cookies be close. I'm like, oh, somebody back there was praying while y'all were stuffing the Club Rangoon. Y'all were praying, because sometimes them fortune cookies be hitting. I mean, they like real close. Like, how'd you know, Szechuan? You know, like, I don't know. Like, and then you start reading zodiac signs. So we're really big, and I want to read the stars, and I want to see what my zodiac sign is. And the zodiac sign, if you look at all, how many of them are there? 13? If you look at all 13, you could line up with something in every category. You just find the one that fits with your feelings for the day and see, that's why I'm a Libra. And a Libra shouldn't get with a whatever. And so our energy is off. And so now we're frustrated because you got two chairs trying to ask each other, why are we here? And what are we supposed to be doing? So what God has done is he said, I, the creator, want to tell you why you exist and how you're to navigate in your life. This is the fundamental baseline belief that we all have to possess, is that I'm created by God for a reason. He made me. So we're going to take a journey in having the creator tell us why the creation exists. Now, let's just be honest. What is the best place for me to learn everything I need to know about this chair? The manufacturer. And great manufacturers also leave you what? An instruction manual. Mind blown. So God, our manufacturer, has left us an instruction manual for us to find out how we tick. But if we're really honest, how many of us genuinely spend time in the instruction manual yet wonder why we don't know what we're doing. But it's all about what's distracting us, all about what's diverting our attention. But what God wants us to see is that He is here for us to help us, because purpose is not a destination. It's not. How many of you 20 years ago saw yourself, well, if you are 20, let me back this up. How many of you 5 years ago saw yourself doing, being where you are right now, 5 years ago? Outside of the two prophets in the room, the rest of us, nope. How many knew every detail of your life that you're walking in right now 5 years ago? But what if you could? I'm a real literal believer in the Bible, and if the Bible's not true, then let's go ahead and close this up and do something else with our time. But I truly believe that when we surrender our life to God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? He'll tell us ahead of time how we're to orchestrate our life, because He knows what you need 30 years from now better than what you do today. Okay, I'll do that. Let me sit with relationships real quick, right? So what I'm learning, in August, my wife and I will have been together 13 years. And so what I am learning is that we are evolving as individuals. But through the evolution of who we're becoming, it's bringing us closer together while we're growing together. Meaning the Lord knew in 2005, when I first saw that tenderoni sitting in church looking so fine in a mug, He knew what I would need in 2019 and beyond. But if I went with what I felt like I needed or what I needed in 2005, I would have outgrown the situation I put myself in. But God is about getting you to your final destination in the quickest amount of time. Did you know that scholars believe the journey back, remember Moses, he went to Egypt land and went and got the people of God out of slavery in Egypt to take them to their promised land? There was an in-between period called the wilderness. Scholars believe that that was a 7 to 14 day journey. Trivia for everyone in the room: how long did it take them to get to the promised land? 40 years, and the generation that was designed to walk in the promised land died in the holding pattern. So purpose is critical for your life, so that you don't die in a holding pattern. Because God's will be accomplished whether you benefit or not. God's plan and His purpose is greater than any individual. I don't believe I was the first person the Lord asked to plant a church in this particular community right in this area. I don't believe that. I don't believe I was the first one. I believe that there were other people that the Lord asked that probably looked at the prospectus and said, oh, no, not me. But yet the benefits that came from that are immense, because God has a bigger plan. We call that His general plan. But it's then important for all of us to line up with His specific plan for our life, meaning you play a part in the overall narrative of God. Let me use another example. Your life, accepting Christ, is a part of His general plan. That's the overall plan. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, John 3:16. Well, specifically, each of us, in a personal setting, have made a connection throughout the history of time. So specifically, we made a connection where you've heard me teach the word, and prayerfully, there's been something that I've shared over the years that has impacted your life. But generally, God desires for you to hear the word and have something to impact your life, to change your life. I'm using that to show you that 5 to 10 years ago, I didn't know any one of you in this room. Well, outside of Donovan, all right, my younger brother. I didn't know the majority of you all in this room 10 years ago. Yet across God aligning my life, we happen to cross paths. What I still don't know are the people that you're influencing based off of the things you're hearing me teach for the last year or so. So if we switch the seats, you don't know who you're affecting by being disobedient to your specific created design. Because your purpose is bigger than you. And I'm going to show you by the end of today's message that you have a choice as to how much of your purpose will you choose to live out. And guess what? God is not going to be mad or upset. He's just going to simply say, when it's all over, that's how much you wanted to get credit for all eternity. So whether you go, as we say, for broke, or whether you play it safe, that's entirely on you. But as you all are getting to know me, my baseline personality is, if the Lord said it, I'm not budging from it. Come hell or high water, we are going to do what the Lord said. Because if it doesn't work, he's going to have to pay to get me out of what he said that didn't work. If I am disobedient and take matters into my own hands and it doesn't work, I'm going to have to pay for what I got myself into. And I don't have enough to get myself out of my mistakes. That's the life that we have to live. But let's get some baseline information, some baseline definitions as it relates to purpose here. The first thing that I want to do, I kind of want to go back before I go forward. Last week, we talked about our identity and as it is found in Christ. And so I want to show you how we sometimes confuse the two. Identity that we talked about last week, who you were created to be. So you understanding how blessed you are, you understanding how called you are, you understanding that you're loved by God, that deals with the area of esteem. And so your self-esteem, your self-worth, how you view yourself should only come from what God has said concerning you. But that does not answer the question of fulfillment. Because you can feel good all day long, but feel like there's something more that I should be doing. Like you're not upset with who you are and the things you've accomplished, but deep down inside, you're like, you know what? I believe there's something more than what I'm doing right now. And so purpose now answers the question of fulfillment. This is where society gets things confused. Society sometimes based its esteem off of its purpose or what it's doing. So if I'm not doing X, Y, and Z, or I'm not performing at a particular level, then I view myself as less than or inadequate. And that's improper to align in your life. Your esteem, your adequacy, who you are, that comes from who God has made you. You can't help but be successful. You can't help but win. You can't help but have favor. You can't help but to have people do things for you that just completely blow your mind because there's an anointing, there's a grace on your life. You can't help that. However, I want to nudge you all into a place of fulfillment, or as psychology calls, self-actualization. I want to put you on a path to understanding and experiencing why you're here. I've had moments in pastoring this church that have been, they've been tough. Not from an actual pastoring standpoint. It's when I have to go home and live life. That's when life gets tough. Like, I can make it if all I had to do was sit here and deliver the word of God and we just be together. There's something about when we all get together that I feel like I can just knock down everything and just be successful about everything. But it's when I'm at home and I'm faced with the perspectives of, what am I going to do next? How are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? Is everybody going to say, you know what? Forget that light-skinned dude. I'm not coming back. And then that's it. Those are the tough moments of pastoring, of leading a charge and being the visionary to see things years in advance and have to make decisions today for something that's coming years in advance. Have y'all ever heard the story of Noah? Noah was building a boat, y'all. And it had never rained on earth when the Lord told him to build a boat. Can you imagine what kind of conversation that was when his primary purpose was to build something for something that had never happened on the earth? And for years, he was just knocking away until it started sprinkling. So as a leader, I see things years in advance. And I have to be willing to stand alone until everybody says, I get it. But when you talk to someone who says, if it was not for the outlet, I don't know if I would be alive today. Everything I went through, everything you deal with, the pressures of being an entrepreneur, of being a bivocational pastor, I have multiple jobs, one purpose. All the pressures that come with that, they go away because you understand in that moment you're fulfilled knowing that you're accomplishing what you're supposed to do on this earth. But can I be honest? The majority of church is about you getting blessed, you getting the house, you getting the car, but it's nothing about, yeah, but when you have that, how are you going to affect your community with that? So what we have done in church is condition people to be so stuck on fruit that we don't teach them how to sow their own seed for fulfillment. So now we have a bunch of people in churches who are sitting because I gotta get the word. I gotta get my word. I need to get tanked up in the word. I'm blessed. We're going to have prayer meeting. We're going to have other meeting. We're going to have committee meeting. Going nowhere. But I pray for a community that's passionate about, okay, I'm here for a reason. And there are people that need this specific gift that I have. See, if you have to charge for everything, you're a hireling wherever you're charging for everything at. But when you're passionate about something, the compensation is secondary. And so now let's balance this. Sometimes you have to work strictly for compensation, but I pray that it's funding something you're passionate about. So the reason I'm bivocational is because we've elected not to receive a salary as pastors of the outlet community. That is the primary reason. So I have a separate job to fund my life, because I'm passionate about what we're building here. So sometimes you need a job. I'm talking about, oh, I'm waiting on, you better wait at some type of establishment or you're going to be hungry. So until it comes to a point in time where an investment pays off, a project pays off, you better work that job faithfully and be the best person on that job. And don't use the cop out of, well, you know, I'm just waiting on the Lord. You know what my purpose is. Well, you can have a whole lot of time figuring it out because there ain't going to be no electricity, ain't going to be no lights. You and God are going to get real close. So practically, use compensation to fund your purpose. Let's keep going. Because when you discover your purpose, it's going to unlock power. It's going to unlock your passion. It's going to unlock perseverance. And it's going to unlock provision. Again, being in your purpose is about a destination. And so as you're walking this out, you're going to notice that you have a supernatural power or ability, whether it's intellectual or whether it's physical, to accomplish the assignment that you have to do. You're going to notice that you're extremely passionate about life. This is why people get into habitual sin. They're lacking passion toward their purpose. You've gotten bored. You haven't been challenged. Can we just talk like as family today? All right. So let's just say I did not care about the preparation it takes to deliver us a message on Sunday morning, right? And I'm a socialite. I'm an extrovert. I like being out. I like being around people. Let's just say, and I'm using this as example, I wanted to get extremely, like I had the temptation to just get extremely drunk last night. What's going to hold me more? The fact the Bible says that a person who is, you know, somebody who stands in this office should not be someone given to much wine or alcohol, or if I get towed up last night, how am I going to function at the maximum capacity for this morning? What's going to hold me more? The latter, the second one, right? So what I'm showing you is you can study scripture all day long and know what the Bible says, but what's going to hold you is what are you passionate about? So when you find yourself in habitual sin, you've lost your passion. And there's clearly something that you're not living for that's greater than you. I should stay on the stage because we're taping, right? But I feel like I need to come and walk the floor and have a personal conversation today. Is that going to we cool? Okay, perfect. All right, I'm coming. I got to come down on the floor today to talk about purpose, y'all. Because I want to take this control approach that the Bible has been presented in away from this church. I don't want us to use the Bible to control people. I want your purpose to be what guides you. And so, you know, whenever I hear different things and certain things happen, it's primarily because you've lost sight of why I'm here. And so there are things that we've built into this particular community to constantly keep you reminded as to why you're here and to get you to continually grow in that. One thing that you may enjoy about this church is that it's about you growing and being developed. But one thing you're not going to be able to stand about this church is that we're constantly have you growing and developing. I just refuse to allow you to get into the doldrums of Christianity that we've seen for so long. And so last year, you know, it was great. It was cute. Like, oh, my goodness, the outlet started. I'm so excited. I knew you should be doing that the whole time. Oh, my God, that's so great. So a year later, it's like if we don't stay proactive, we will slide back into what has possessed and poisoned better churches than this one, which is complacency. I can't allow you to be complacent. I just can't. You won't even be able to look at yourself if you look in the mirror every morning thinking that I should be doing more. But when you have something that's bigger than you, number one, you realize that God called you to it before you got good enough to facilitate it. I'm going to shock you all. On my pastoral and ministerial team, I am not the best preacher, nor am I the best teacher on my own team. My team can preach me underneath these seats, but yet the Lord called me to lead this church and be the primary teacher of this church. Well, why is that so? So I'm constantly reminded that I need him to teach every week. Many of you in here are gifted at gathering individuals. We have to break down the stigma that comes with church. On one hand, on Google, I have to say we're a church. On the other hand, in public, I don't want to say I'm a church, because people have in their mind what a church looks like. And we are at the precipice of the largest shift in 20 years of how church has to be done to survive. The antiquated way of doing church, which is known as the current way we primarily do church, is obsolete. How do I know? I'm watching crowds get older and younger people find somewhere else to go, which means if we continue to do church the way we've always done it, we have a 20-year lifespan, because those who are 50, 60, 70 are going to get 70, 80, 90 and may not want to come into the building to hear what we have to say if we don't change our methods. This week I was in D.C. and had a chance to be there for about 3 days or so. The way I travel, how you travel. Yes, how I travel, I'm trying to use big words. The way we travel in Atlanta is different than how you have to travel in the D.C. area. All right. And one thing that I noticed is outside of our hotel, there were two cabs that were sitting there when I left. And 5 hours later, when I got back, them same two cabs were sitting there when I got back. Now, here's the thing. I needed transportation. So the cabs were right about what I needed, but how they delivered it didn't appeal to me, so I used other means to get around the D.C., Virginia area. The Lord said, that is the picture of church. If you are sitting and waiting for people to show up at your church, you're going to be like those two cabs. But you need to find a way to take what you have and get it to where people are. They will still access the reason why we're here. And so now how we do church has to shift, but that means internally we have to grow. Got to get out this mindset that you have to be perfect. I got to stop doing this. I got to stop doing that before. No. That's not what the Lord is asking. He just said start. Power, passion, perseverance, you have grit, and then provision. So one thing I've noticed is that this has been probably the biggest leap of faith that my wife and I have ever taken in our life. Like, I am a planner to the T. That is my baseline personality. I strategize everything. But when the Lord asks you to step, what he's asking for is, give me your plan, and I'm going to give you my plan. See, my plan was very limited in my reach, because naturally when we think about our plan, we think about what's comfortable. But then the Lord takes you places that are uncomfortable so that you don't depend on your strategy, so that he can give you his strategy and you can have greater reach. It blows my mind that the conversations, the decisions that I'm having affect billions of dollars and influence the lives of millions of people for an 18-year period of time. If I went with my plan, I wouldn't have did that. His plan for your life is bigger than your plan for your life. But one thing about this journey, if can I just be just all out here honest? Y'all, I don't know how we making it. I wish I could tell you. I really wish I could. I wish people say, well, how did you get involved with that? I don't know. How did you get involved? I don't know. I don't know. Although I don't know how I'm making it, I'm living better, and watch this, freer than I've ever lived in my life. And so as a very much a person who likes to campaign and encourage people, hey, I want everybody to come follow me off the cliff. I really do. I want everyone to push yourself further than you said in your mind you should go. I want to push you. But I want to show you how. Because there were some things that we did. And I want to say ignorantly, because I did not know. I was just following the leading of Holy Spirit. So you were so right. I got way too much content. I'm not going to finish this carefully crafted message I put together. It's all going to be out here, and I'm just going to have to finish it one day, right? All right. My wife is right. Let's see. We're going to run through my message real quick. I'm going to go put it on the screen. All right, here we go. I'm going to run through my points because it's time for me to end. All right, your purpose comes from God and God alone, period. Your intention, your design, that only comes from God, God alone. All right, so what is the meaning of life? That you were created for a specific purpose, each of you. Purpose influences every single decision that I've ever made in my life, even in my relationship. So when I understood God's general purpose for me to be a part of ministry, I always had a desire placed in me by God to be in full-time ministry. I had that desire. So what that did was answer the question, what type of woman should I be with in life? Number one, she had to be a Christian. That answered the question if she had to be a Christian. And she had to like church. So it gave me, based off knowing what I was to do, what I wasn't looking for. So although there were other women who may have been wonderful, other women who may have been right, even there, purpose helps you to identify between what is a good, solid decision and which one is God's decision for you right now. Because as you grow and as you mature, it won't always be as simple as bad and good. Sometimes you're going to have good, better, great, wonderful, but this is God's decision. So purpose is going to help you, because life is not as black and white as we try to make it up here on this stage. Sometimes things happen in life I don't have a scripture for. I don't. And I'm not going to lie and say I do. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know why that happened. But what purpose will allow you to do is see, where is the Lord leading me right now? So, man. No, I mean, these are just some real personal examples, because my whole life has been about, what did God say and will you do that? Oh, Theory, man, I forgot. I need to preach to you too. I'm sorry. Will you do that? Let me tell you how much is at stake with your, and I'm talking to you. I'm not, even though I'm using me, I'm talking to you right now. Let me go here. Okay. You have a choice of three paths to take as long as you're breathing on this earth. You have a choice. Either you're going to survive, or you're going to be successful, or you'll choose significance. You have three choices. Most want to be successful. Most. In fact, between survival and success is really the sweet spot of the majority of those living today. If I were to say you're successful, there would be a sense of I'm accomplished that you would find innately. But what if I said there's a higher level to life outside of success? Making the decision to live a life of significance comes before the temptation to remain successful. So in my heart, there's a decision that you have to make. Where are we going with this? In fact, that's the best question to ask in any relationship. Where are we going with this? In fact, I remember talking to Ashley when we first started talking. And, we were just talking. We were friends, and I was still playing a little, some games. And Ash asked me this question. So where is this going? Hadn't had that thought come to mind. No one's ever asked me that type of question. She wanted to know purpose. In that moment, I asked her out, and, she couldn't resist, so she's here today. But purpose, where is this going? And prior to the outlet existing, I had reached a place of success. Very successful at what I did. Extremely. But for the majority and really all of you in here who are successful, you know success gets boring. And in fact, success is the breeding ground to pride. But significance is the starting ground to selflessness. And I came to a point where the Lord led me in a season of prayer about what he had called me to do. Specifically, and asked me where I was, where's this going? And when I was able to see 10, 15 years in advance, I saw where I was, I reached as far as I could ever go. Now, I could stay, but when you stay in success without any challenge, you get into sin. And I don't know what sin it is, but you get into sin. Which simply means you're missing God, because God is always about being a person who leaves significance. And so the Lord said, you have one of two options. You can either stay successful and lie about what I asked you to do, or you can risk everything and be honest about what I've called you to do. Your choice. Significance is about risking all of your connections, all of your accomplishments, and counting them as nothing so that you can obtain what God put in your heart to do. But it takes prayer to have the internal fortitude to be honest about what you were placed on earth to do. Can I be honest? There are going to be some friends who stop talking to you. Can I be honest? Church folk may abandon you, villainize you. To be honest, you could lose your job. But can I be really honest? Anything you lose for the sake of Christ, you didn't lose. You just simply invested. And God has a way of returning every single thing that you thought you lost. But when he returns it in better condition than when you gave it to them. Our lives have to be about others. Who has God asked you to reach? What has the Lord asked you to do that you're hesitant? And I'm really talking to those who are successful. I want you to push yourself. Because I want to see you live a life of significance. A life that is completely dependent on the Lord and is greater than yourself. It's in that life there's so much freedom. And can I be extremely honest? I wasn't ready to make that step of significance. But sometimes we need to say, Lord, help me take that step. And there are going to be times where you have no other choice but to depend totally on the Lord. But I want you all to learn from my mistakes. Don't wait until you're forced to have to do what the Lord asked you to do. If I can be honest, the Lord put the outlet in my wife and I's heart in 2015. But I was extremely scared because I knew what the Lord was asking me to do. I knew that I didn't fit where I was, but I ignored him. And every time we took moments of and seasons of prayer, he would present it back and say, Vince, I've called you to this. You're supposed to do this. I would say, yeah, and I put it to the side. No, I ain't doing that. No, it's too much. I like my life a lot. December 2017, the Lord said, Vince, when 21 days of prayer happens, you don't come out of 21 days until I say come out of 21 days of prayer. And as I was studying the message today, in my notes, I came across a journal entry from December of 2017 concerning the outlet. And it was in that time of prayer, even before the January 21 days of prayer started in 2018, the Lord said, there's a shift coming that I need you to be ready for. And I was like, no, surely isn't. But internally, I started noticing that the stuff that I could excuse, I couldn't excuse anymore. How many know that there's a grace sometimes to put up with some foolishness when you're supposed to be somewhere? But as soon as that grace lifts, you notice everything. And the Lord was making it clear, you don't fit. But I said, tell that to my paycheck. In January, it just kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I told Deanna Jo Vivian, I said, Joe, I don't know what's going on inside of me, but I sense a different anointing. I sense a different mantle than what I can use where I'm currently at. All she said was pray, because the Lord first does something in you before he does it on the outside of you. Still, I didn't want to obey. And I remember maybe 10 days or so after the official ending of 21 days of prayer that we were in, I had a meeting with my boss at the time. And he asked me a direct question about what I saw for myself long term. And if I would be willing to take a pay raise to stay where I was at, with the promise of an illustrious future, or do what I knew in my heart to do. And because I had been in prayer at that time, 35 days of prayer, I had enough strength to do what man would say is foolish and turn down any offer and say, I know God has called me to do this. I don't know when, but he's called me to do what I'm doing today. And in that moment, all of my income gone. And now I gotta depend on the Lord. But it was what the Lord told me I was supposed to be doing the whole time. See, people get upset. How could they do that? How could the church do? When we take God's vantage point and not man's vantage point, my former boss had more courage to do to me what I should have done to me a long time ago. Which causes me to thank my former boss, because I probably would have been miserable, stuck in complacency. But now I have the opportunity every single day to live a life of significance that the Lord has asked us to do since he called us to do full-time ministry. What are you holding on to? Let's stand to our feet.